Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, you know, it's really an honor. Tyler Langlois, I've been seeing him do stand-up here at the Stress Factory. Then I'll go to Chamber 43. He'll show up. Then I'll go over to Brighton Bar in Long Branch. He'll show up. I think I saw you at Waldo's thing in Keyport, New Jersey. There's no place this guy won't go to sling some motherfucking jokes. And let me tell you something. If you want to be a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite, you have to go to Dallas or D.C. and drink baby bud out of a goblet. If you want to be a Scientology OT level 5 through 7, you have to go to Clearwater, Florida, and they beat you on a boat as they drive around. If you want to be an OTO level 9, you have to go to Lon Duquette's house in Costa Mesa, California, where Lord knows what happens there. I have seen Tyler Langlois level up as a comedian multiple times at the Stress Factory, and I made sure to let you know that when that happened. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Langlois.
Hey. I don't know how I feel about my stand-up being compared to Scientology and...
You're in a cult. It's a death cult filled with... Look, at the top of the heap, you're either at Madison Square Garden. You could be just as good. You're on the couch. You're living in a basement shoveling shit every morning. It's a hall of mirrors. You know, there's a lot of politics involved. Your stand-up is so dark, and you're so fearless. You have this bit, I don't want to give it away too much, but you basically say that your family committed suicide, and you walk in, and you just feel, like, upset that you weren't included. It's so fucked up. Tell me about your darkness, Tyler. What is going on?
I don't know, dude. I guess... I don't know, my family's fucked up. I mean...
How so?
My birth mom was a heroin addict and an alcoholic. I haven't seen her since the second grade. I don't know. Yeah, my dad...
So you were like 7 or 8?
Yeah, 8. Yeah, first day of second grade was the last time I saw her.
Wow.
I went to school, and then when I was going to leave school, a one-legged homeless man was there to pick me up.
Uh-huh.
Which was one of her best friends.
Was that her pimp or something, or...?
They just did drugs together.
They just did drugs together.
And then the school was like, no, we're not going to send this kid home with this guy. He can't...
Who, Stinky Rufus? What's wrong with him? He's a great babysitter. Sure, he's down the leg, but come on.
Yeah, he's just not the kind of person you want to walk home with.
You had to wheel him home and he's protecting you? That's tough.
But, yeah, and then I guess...
So who raised you after that?
My dad.
Okay.
But I guess it was a whole thing because, like, I guess... My birth mom told Dyfus that my dad was dead, but he wasn't dead. So
it's like he's just in Jersey down the street. He's down Route 31. Let's
go talk to him. Two towns over.
Right.
So they had somehow my dad found out. So my dad and Dyfus both showed up at my house at the same time. Luckily, because Dyfus was ready to take me and my brother to like a foster home, and my dad's like, oh no, he's just gonna go with me. And like they were like literally just like throwing garbage bags of our clothes like over like this, because we lived in like basically a motel. It was like on the second floor where there's like,
oh wow,
where you walk out the front door and you're like on like a, you're outside basically like on like a weird balcony.
Yeah.
And they're just throwing garbage bags of our clothes over the balcony into the car. Like, I don't know where
it's my, social services at a budget over here in New Jersey.
Yeah. I don't know where my birth mom was when we got back to the house, because she wasn't there. I guess she knew it was coming.
Did she get arrested for drugs or something?
I don't know.
And then Dyfus comes right in? Is that how it works?
I have no idea. I think she knew it was coming and she just vanished.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I really have no idea.
And you don't know if she's alive or dead,
no,
right?
She's
now?
Alive. She sent me a Facebook friend request a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I was like...
Did you confirm?
I was like, no, I don't want to be your friend. She didn't even send a message. That's a bold move.
Right.
To like...
Or she just pokes...
Yeah, to just, like, neglect and, like, abandon your kids. Yeah. And then, you know, like, I think she had a restraining order until I turned 18.
Yeah.
But then she waited till I was, like, 24. And I was like, Facebook friend request?
Huh?
No message? I'm like, no. Yeah.
So you say your birth mom, which would infer to me that you had your dad remarried?
Yeah. I consider her my mom.
And then how old were you? So the first mom leaves at 8. When do you get the new mom?
Well, my dad and my birth mom got separated when I was in kindergarten. She faked a domestic abuse case against
She's
him.
She's a winner.
Yeah, she slammed her own hand in a door and then said he did it to her.
Ow.
Yeah. And then my dad started dating my now mom when I was in kindergarten, like a couple months later when I was in kindergarten.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they've been together for...
So she was kind of around a little bit there.
Yeah.
So you were familiar with her. So then how old were you when they got married, or did they not?
No, they got married when I was in fourth or fifth grade. It was like right after my...
So like 3 years after like the divorce is kind of through and all that.
Yeah, it was right after my brother was born.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So you have a younger brother and that's it?
I have two younger brothers and a younger sister.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the dad kept making more family. You're the oldest?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you probably saw more than they did.
Yeah, my one brother has the same mom as me, and then the other two have the other different
Oh,
mom.
Okay, yeah. So how was the new mom totally stable? Everything was peaches and cream after that, or how'd it go? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's like a normal family.
Did you ever go to therapy or anything like this and talk about that stuff?
I went to therapy like briefly when I first started living with my dad because I was having a lot of sleepwalking episodes, and I don't know, I feel like the sleepwalking stopped and they're like, okay, no more therapy, Tyler. Well, that's dealt with. That's my family's thing. They like deal with something until the problem seems to go away, and then right. there's like they just drop it. They never follow through on anything.
Right, right. But really, you're just like, you're having flashbacks of your mom and slamming heroin and Stinky Rufus taking you home from school, and that's why, and you're like, whoa, whoa. But then once they just, you don't sleepwalk in the hallway anymore, then they're like, okay.
Yeah, once I'm trying to...
That's a business deal. You're done. You're fixed, right? That's a con... Okay, bye.
Yeah.
No, we're not paying for that shit anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't sleepwalk again until senior year of high school, so...
Did your second mom stay home and raise your kids, or your kids, your brothers and sister, or did you... did she work, too?
She worked at, like, the daycare of a gym for a while, so she would bring my little brother and sister with her.
Oh, okay.
And then she... worked at a preschool, and now she works for the court system in the town I live in. So she's had a job most of the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The court system, like divorce court administrator or criminal?
Like she works like at like the police station. She's like the deputy clerk or something. I don't
know. Oh, okay. So she, okay. Takes in witness statements and stuff. It's 7 o'clock, the door's open, bud.
Yeah, but like for like after that.
Buddy, I'm doing a podcast.
Hell yeah.
Sorry. Tyler Langlois will be at the Brighton Bar in a show called Dead Rat, and that show is 6/20/2019. When time the doors open?
Doors are at 8. Hopefully the show will start at 8:30, but no one shows up to anything on time. Not even the comics.
I know. Dead Rat, Brighton Bar. 6/20/2019. Go see this guy. This guy's on the rise. I'm telling you, this guy, his dedication is paying off.
I hope so.
But you love it, though. What do you go home and write? Do you have that discipline? Do you try it on stage and listen to the audio? How do you do it?
Yeah, I'm horrible with this, all of this.
Organization?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I basically... Half of my jokes I come up with while I'm trying to fall asleep, laying in bed at night.
Okay.
I'm terrible at sleeping. That's when I do all of my overthinking.
Okay.
And that's usually when I think, like, it's like, okay, time for bed. And my brain's like, all right, time to go over your entire act. I'm like, all of it is getting kind of long.
Yeah.
And then, so I have to keep my phone by me and I write stuff down. And then I'll...
You don't ever try, like, go old-fashioned paper, you know, paper?
When I'm holding a pen, I feel like my brain turns off. Like, I have to already know what I'm going to write down to start writing it down.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you are holding a pen with paper and it's like, go, you're like,
Yeah, the
But if it's like, I'm going to write this down, then you can do it.
Yeah. If I'm holding a pen planning on thinking of something, the stakes are too high.
Right. It's like the pen is like, what the fuck do you got?
Yeah.
you know, is judging you.
Yeah.
Like your narcissistic drug addict mom. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, so what do you do? So it goes in the phone?
Goes in the phone. I'll think about it throughout the day. Then I'll usually have like a general idea of how I want to say it. Say it on stage. Maybe hopefully I think of something else while I'm doing it on stage. And then if it works, you know, just keep doing it and try and make it better.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, got to rethink it.
We're doing a podcast.
And then, I don't record any of my sets.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know why. Again.
Do you don't keep a master document of all your dime piece jokes on there?
Like
a Microsoft Word. This is my, these are my best jokes. Bye, 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 bye. So you know how much time you have?
I go
towards your first album?
Yeah, I go through it every few months, my notes every few months. And kind of will update that list. I'm bad at keeping it updated. So, like, probably the last time I did that was in, like, September.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, like, 45 minutes. If I went through and found all the new
September
stuff
of 2018.
Yeah.
Right? So, we're talking 9 months ago.
Yeah. So, if I went through now, I probably have close to an hour.
Do that homework.
I know.
Do it. It's so important.
Yeah,
I know. Because then... You know, I got into this habit too.
Yeah.
You spend so much time going to mics, right? You drive 90 minutes. We both went down to Keyport. I don't know where you live. It took me like 90 minutes to get there, 75 minutes to get home. That's a lot of just driving. That's, well, you know, almost 3 hours of just driving, you know? So it's like, at the end of the day, that drive, that time, that focus is not so I can get attention, although it feels great. What that is you're actually doing an experiment. You're going, is this funny? You know? And then you got to log the information when you get home like a scientist. Oh, this, if I add blowjobs to this material, then it's a good analogy. You know what I mean? That's basically how I think about most of my jokes. It's filthy and disgusting. But, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and trust me, I know the things I'm supposed to be doing.
You're too talented not to do the homework.
Yeah. Like, I don't... every time I'm like gonna record, I'm just like, as soon as I'm about to walk on stage, I'm like, I just put my phone back in my pocket. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And then I regret it because I'm like, oh, I ripped something and I'm not gonna remember it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but it's torture. Like when I do have to like look through my notes and figure out like what have I written in the last 6 months. And
you just hate yourself when you read that. You're like, this is bad. This isn't gonna work.
Yeah, and also like just like. You'll see like weird repeating patterns you didn't even realize you were doing, like like you scroll through and it's like every 8 notes it just says serial killer and you're like, why is this what does this mean?
It's very confusing.
Yeah,
like sometimes you're like, oh, am I crazy, you know?
Yeah, you're like, apparently I thought this had the same thought 7 times over the past 6 months and didn't remember any of the times. Every time I thought it was the first time I thought it.
Oh, you are a tortured soul. Gets dark up there. You've never like gone through like the super, okay, let's go back to high school. You're a sophomore, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just start getting into like the Postal Service and their lyrics are dipping into your subconscious. Like you're crying a lot at night, hormones are raging, you know? Have you ever cut yourself or have you ever had the suicide fantasy or anything like that? Because what you talk about on stage, I mean, it's hard fucking court, man.
Well, see, sophomore year of high school, I would have been pretty heavy into death metal at the time.
Okay.
So that's what I would have been listening to. just a lot of Cannibal Corpse and, you know, songs about fucking people with knives and stuff like that.
Like Slipknot type shit?
No, that's soft stuff.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I mean, I probably... That's the thing, when people like ask, like, have you ever thought about killing yourself? It's like, not really.
Right.
At the same time. It's like, I don't know how to answer that question without, like, a doctor being like, you're a threat to yourself.
Right.
Because it's like, yeah, obviously everyone has, haven't they?
But also, let's talk about horrible thoughts for a second. It's like, you see a sexy girl at the beach, you know, guys are turning around, looking at that butt. I mean, what are they thinking? Those are rape eyes. Everybody knows it. So they're going, I wonder what my penis would be like in that butt. Obviously, you just that is what you think, right?
Yeah.
So It's like to say, oh, I've never thought of suicide, is just like, no, I've thought of everything. I've considered, when you hear about, you know, I've thought of everything, you know? Oh, what's up, Danny Braff?
That was a really good picture for the podcast.
Oh,
really,
thank you.
I didn't listen to the podcast. I'm not going to.
Get the fuck out of my face, Danny Braff. You're autistic as fuck.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
we're recording
don't read
a much
social
better
cues.
Much better episode is happening right now.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Why don't you wear another black t-shirt?
I'll check out the picture.
That piece of shit. No, I love Danny Braff. He's great. So, we were talking about therapy. It was just for the sleepwalking, and we were talking about suicide attempts. Yeah. So, you've thought about it. I've thought about it, too. Have you ever had, like, a plan?
No, I've never hurt myself. I think part of that is that, also around, like, sophomore, junior year of high school, I got super into reading existential philosophy. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, because I'm just
like Nietzsche. Or
I read some of him. He's very hard to understand. Mm-hmm. I wasn't smart enough, but I read a bunch of like Sartre, Camus. I read like all their books, basically, like as much as their books as I could. I read a lot of Camus. I read like two Sartre books, because after he has that real big one, Being in Nothingness, that every time you think you figured out what it means, he's like, but wait, there's more, because this book is 1,000 pages long, and you're never going to understand it.
Right.
And so life is sufferings.
Yeah.
That's but what a lot of it is.
But that made me terrified of the idea of complete and total nothingness. So I'm more afraid of that than my desire to be dead. So that's
because of your atheism, you're like, oh wow, if lights are out.
Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
Yes.
Because I like to experience life. I love life. I love comedy. I like laughing.
Yeah. I mean, even kind of partially stems into the reasons that I don't drink or do any drugs or anything. 'Cause like I saw my mom be fucked up my entire childhood.
Sure.
Like, my aunt is, schizophrenic and also, like, a cokehead. Like, my uncle's an alcoholic. Like, my whole family, like, is a mess.
Yeah.
But also, like, so that was one thing. And also, just, like, I want to remember and, like, make sure I'm there for as much of this as possible.
Yeah.
Even if it sucks and I am constantly complaining.
No, I get that, man. For me, I think it's more of like, I drink, I do, you know, whatever. We've been to parties and, you know, I don't want to name the party. We both know what we're talking about, though. A lot of drugs were going on in that party. A lot of this and that. I was, you know, keeping up with the boys. You were like, no, I don't do nothing. But you just wanted to, you know, be with the friends and be in the scene and do the social thing. How do you, is it hard to have that kind of discipline and self-control in that aspect of your life?
No, because, like,
it was just a choice you made long ago, and it's just been easy.
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, it was probably, when high school and middle school, that was probably, like, 90% of my personality is the fact that I didn't do drugs.
Right.
Like, I had, like, my Kill Your Local Drug Dealer t-shirts, going to hardcore shows, stuff like that. But, like, now it's just part of my life that...
You're like a straight edge rock and roll kind of scene kind of person. Yeah, they had that in New Jersey. I know exactly what you're talking about, you know? New Jersey was big on that scene. Straight edge, you don't got to get fucked up. Let's just play music and hang out type of thing. Positive messages, you know?
Yeah, until it gets to the point where it's like a gang mentality where they beat the shit out of guys who were drinking at shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, like, I lived out in Utah after high school for a year.
Oh, wow.
And out there, Straight Edge is, like, a legit gang. And I didn't know that, so I'll just wear my shirts. And then I'd get followed around the convenience store when I showed up because they thought I was going to cause problems. Like, stuff like...
Oh, the security would?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to punch an old lady in the face who grabs a wine bottle off the...
Yeah. Or just, like, I'm a criminal.
Right,
like,
right.
But, yeah, I saw people get the shit kicked out of them at concerts
For drinking?
In Salt Lake, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, this one dude was kind of drunk and, like, just, like, started pushing people in the crowd, and a whole group of kids all just beat the shit out of him, dropped him to the ground, started kicking him. Security guard showed up. He's friends with all those guys. Mm. Takes this kid, throws him on the curb. The kid's like just bloodied up.
Right, right.
Kicked out. Everyone high fives.
It's like, man, if that's you that day, that's a rough day, you know? But I guess it's like, no, fuck that guy. And they felt justified and they were like, we can just beat him up.
Yeah, it was like dudes with like brass knuckle tattoos, and like inside the brass knuckles it says like drug, and on their hand it says free. Like,
oh wow.
Yeah, like it's they're like,
my daddy beat me, now I'm gonna punch back.
Yeah.
I don't want to make fun of your whole life. My fucking, I should have, woken up about, you know, I like drinking. I try to keep it under control. I'll like, I make a fool out of myself. Then I'll show up doctor professional and you know what I mean? But, yeah, my aunt is like a black tar heroin hooker with AIDS, right? She, had a brief fiance as a doctor, right? She's dating this doctor, he's in residency, whatever. She's slamming heroin, she's sucking dick, she's paying for her drug habit, doing that, you know what I mean? Gives him AIDS. He fucking splits to Canada. Like, he lost his fucking mind and just was like, got out of New Jersey, flew to Canada. Like, I don't know, nobody ever saw him again. So, that's what my aunt's got, a dangerous vagina, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But, yeah. you said your aunt, you just mentioned your aunt briefly, who's got, so your mom, it was the heroin thing, or what was she doing?
Well, yeah, my mom, my birth mom, yeah, she was heroin, alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then my aunt, who's my dad's sister.
Oh, okay, so not your mom's sister, your dad's sister on the other side, too.
I don't have any connection to my birth mom's side of the family at all anymore.
Okay.
Like, my grandma on that side tried to stay in the picture for longer than she should have. Like, she, like, even when I wasn't, like, I hadn't seen my birth mom since second grade. And then, like, fourth, fifth grade, the grandma was still, like, trying to hang out with me and my brother.
Mm.
And we eventually had to, like, take her, my parents had to take her to court because she, like,
sued for custody.
She was like, I have grandparents rights, which isn't a thing, it doesn't exist,
right?
But like, we're like, we don't want to hang out with you, like,
yeah.
She like wasn't like nice to us, like it was shitty, and like,
yeah,
there was always the weird threat, like the chance that like she would like steal us and bring us to our birth mom or something,
right?
Like,
right. So then it skips over on the other side, the dad's side, his sister, what's she like?
She's like manic depressive, like kind of schizophrenic. Mm. I don't know. I don't really know for sure. She like supposed to be on medication. Who knows if she takes it?
Mm.
But like, definitely like, smokes a lot of weed. Drinks constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure she does coke. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, she's okay. Just a mess.
So it was her schizophrenia was like drug related manifestation, you think?
No, I think she's always like had like mental health issues since she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But like, she just, like, has gone.
Hey, you're not sleepwalking anymore, right? You went to the doctor twice? Okay, wait, let's stop with that, right? You're good, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Just sweep it under the rug?
My grandparents were probably also the same way with, like, yeah, taking care of issues. So my grandpa doesn't talk about anything, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? I have no idea what his deal is. He was in World War II, I think.
Mm.
That's what people say. Mm-hmm. I've never heard him say it.
Mm-hmm. So you never said, Grandpa, how was storming the beach in Normandy? Nothing like that. He would never talk about it. He would go, oh.
Never talk about it. And he was, like, in France.
Shooting people, yeah.
Yeah, because I think he was in the Air Force. My dad was born in France. So grandpa was still stationed in France when my dad was born.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea what the deal is there.
Yeah.
Because no one talks about any of it.
Well, that's one way to, like, deal with it, you know? Because I'm sure it's, like, so traumatic. I mean, I kind of... Can you imagine if, like, we got drafted to Iraq? Like, you know? Like, I've read a lot of books. I've read War is a Racket by Smudley Butler. I'm pretty sure it's all horseshit, you know? War, you know, is all for profit and stuff like that. And now it's, like, Halliburton is making a lot of money on this. So I'm going to shoot this poor person now. But, like, I could not do it. You know what I mean? So, if I got drafted anything like that, it's just, like, it's brutal. I mean, I don't know, man. War's gotta be the scariest thing. Imagine constantly, like, it would be, like, even when you're flying into battle, it would make sense if this plane got shot down right now, because we're flying into a country that's at war with us. Then you land, it's like, you never get a moment where it's like, I might not explode right now.
Yeah, it's
for,
true.
Like, years and years of being on tour down there, you know?
Yeah, it's gonna suck.
So then you're just like, they're like, you know, So how was World War II, Grandpa? He's like, I got lemon squares. I got lemon squares, you know?
Yeah.
They just can't deal anymore.
He was being the most stressed out you could possibly be constantly.
Yeah.
For years.
Yeah, I mean, some lady almost was texting and almost crashing in the back of me, and I was like, shook, driving here. Like, yeah. Shook, because I heard her go, because she was texting, and not, you know, I was just looking in front of me. I didn't even notice her until I heard the brakes. And like, but I have a liberal arts degree and a charmed life, you know? So it's like... did you go to college?
Yeah, I have an associate's degree. It took me 5 years.
I think that's a normal track.
Yeah.
Where'd you go? CCM or Raritan Valley?
I did one semester of school out in Utah.
Oh, okay.
And then I...
So you thought you were going to 4 years in Utah?
Well...
That was the goal?
My move out to Utah was sort of out of spite.
Okay, let's talk about this. Yeah.
So I was in a relationship from 7th grade until the day I graduated high school, dating the same girl for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then she went on a month-long vacation to Japan, and on the second day of her vacation, she changed her Facebook status from in a relationship with me to in a relationship with the guy she told me was just her friend.
Mm-hmm.
And
they went to Japan together?
No.
She met him in Japan?
No, she had been friends with him for months.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, like, she didn't want to be around for the confrontation of all of it.
Mm.
So they had, like, a plan. They're like, oh, I'll just break up with him while I'm in Japan. When I get back, we'll be together.
Right. Oh, I see. So he was still in Jersey.
Yes.
She flew to Japan to change her status.
Yes.
And then stayed there for 2 weeks to cool down so that you wouldn't justifiably shoot her in the fucking face.
Yeah.
Were you going to? Did you have a plan to shoot your girlfriend?
No.
When she landed from Tokyo.
I was upset for maybe the first like couple days. Sent a lot of very nasty emails.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, I was like just hanging out with my friends, enjoying the summer. And I like, ended up having like one of the best summers.
Oh, okay. And you didn't realize you had an albatross around you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Like, oh, wait, BMX bikes and 7-Eleven slushies. Oh, yeah. This isn't so bad.
Exactly.
I don't have this judgy albatross thing.
Yeah.
Talking, oh, I don't like your friends all the time. And it's like, oh, well, this is better. Crazy.
Yeah, but then, so, like, we had gone to Brookdale and scheduled all of our classes together. And then...
Is that in Utah?
No, in Jersey.
Oh, okay. I didn't know Brookdale.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Monmouth County.
Okay.
But, so, we scheduled all of our classes together, and then when it came to pay for the classes, my parents were like, yeah, we're not going to pay for this.
Uh-huh.
You know, we know that she's in all of your classes.
Right.
So, they didn't pay for my classes, and then I remember we got in a fight. I'm like, you didn't pay for my school. I can't go to school. What the fuck am I going to do? And they're like, well, maybe you should move out to Utah, live with your aunt, and go to school out there. And I'm like, maybe I will. And then a month later, I was on a plane to Utah.
Uh-huh. So you got into a community college in Utah?
Yes. The plan was to do like a year or two of community college in Utah, then transfer over to the University of Utah or whatever.
Or like BYU or whatever. Okay.
And the plan was like, all my friends were like, yeah, we're going to move out there with you. Because most of my good friends were like a year younger than me. So they're like, yeah, when we graduate, we're going to move out there. We're all going to live out there together. But that didn't happen. I lived there for a year, like 9 months to a year, and just fell into the deepest depression of my life.
Yeah.
And then had to come home.
Because now you're like, wait, I don't have 7-Eleven BMX bikes or slushies anymore, or any of my Jersey friends.
Yes.
And it's boring as fuck here.
Yeah.
And I just saw somebody get beaten up at a rock show.
Yeah.
Which is the only thing that keeps me normal is straight edge rock shows. But these guys are hard fucking core.
Yeah, but they're also not, like, fun to hang out with.
Why is that?
I don't know. Because they're just... Because, like, one of the reasons, like, I feel like straight edge is so hardcore out in Utah is because of the Mormons. They already don't drink or do any of that stuff, so, like...
They're rebelling against booze and the Mormons. They're like, we're straight edge like this, not like those fuckers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're like Mormon, like they're all like Mormon kids who are already like drinking's bad, but they're like, want to still be edgy somehow, so they just beat the shit out of people.
They're like, we still don't like our parents, but they didn't drink. Oh, I'm beating you up. Oh, Danny drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're just trying to find who's got the answers. Do the Mormons got the answers? Do the straight edge out here in Utah have the answers? You're just looking, you're a lost puppy looking for love. So then you did 1 year, one semester in Utah?
Yes.
And then came right back.
Came back to Jersey.
And then where'd you go there?
Then I went to school at Brookdale in Monmouth County. And I had to pay for myself, so I was pushing shopping carts at a Sam's Club.
Wow, so you went back to the very school that your ex was at?
Yeah, we never ran into each other, surprisingly.
Oh, wow. You didn't go to another community college out here? Why was Brookdale appealing to you?
I mean, because I got, like, the in-county tuition.
Okay, yeah, okay.
It's the cheapest option.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
So what was your degree?
I have a degree in art.
It took 5 years for a degree in art.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be an artist.
Uh-huh. Like studio art, painting, sculpting.
Yeah. Like I started my degree as graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, like, my family's so fucking confusing. Like, I remember before I even started college, I was like, I'm going to go to school to be a teacher. And they were like, you could go fuck yourself. You're ruining your life.
Wow.
And they're like, "Not my son is not going to be a teacher."
Uh-huh.
I'm like, what the fuck? I thought DJing is like a noble profession. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to be a graphic designer. And they're like, I don't know, but I guess. And then there was like a minute where I thought I was going to be a poet. I didn't change my major or anything.
Yeah.
But I got into like the online writing scene for a minute.
Oh, okay.
But then
was it straight edge?
No, it's like they all started like accusing each other of rape and all became like social justice warriors. I'm like, this isn't fun anymore. this is terrifying.
Yeah, that sounds like some college experiences I've had. Go on.
And then I was like, I'm going to be a real artist.
Mm-hmm.
And my family's like, cool. And then
so they say no to teacher, like sculpting young minds, prepping the next generation. No.
Yeah.
I want to just do art and paint. Okay.
Yeah. And then when
I say no.
Yeah. And then when I told them I wanted to do stand up, they're like, hell yes.
Oh, okay. That's good.
It's the only thing they've been fully supportive of in my entire life, and I don't get it.
Do they come to shows ever and see you and support you?
Yes, a lot.
Oh, okay. Like, are they going to be here tonight, the Stress Factory?
No, I don't let them come to open mics.
Oh, okay. So when you're booked on the show.
Yeah, they'll come to, like, probably half of my booked shows.
So, your booked show is going to be at the Brighton Bar. That is Dead Rat, 6/20/2019. Doors open at 8 p.m.
Yep, come see me.
Tyler Langlois.
Come see me talk about my dick in front of my dad.
Awkward. That's great, man. Thanks for talking to me. So let me just fill in this timeline. I'm really into timelines, you know?
Yeah.
So you did 5 years out there. How old are you now?
I'm 27.
Oh, okay. So let me think. So that would be 23. So you've been out for 4 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So what have you been doing? I know you said you'd worked a graveyard shift and stuff like that. I forget what you said. If you don't want to say it on mic, that's fine, too.
Oh, job? So the whole time I was at Brookdale, I was pushing shopping carts at a Sam's Club.
Uh-huh.
It's way too long to push shopping carts. Everyone thinks you're retarded.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would confuse people when I would go grab their shopping carts, and they'd be like, thank you. And I'd be like, yeah, no problem. They're like, oh, he can speak full sentences.
Right, right. You thought he was going to be like, my shopping cart.
Yeah. So I did that for way too long. Then I worked at the Amazon warehouse for 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Which is hell on earth.
Oh, that sounds tough.
It's the worst place ever.
Walk across the concrete floor all the time grabbing shit off shelves, huh?
No, you don't even move. The shelves come to you now.
What?
There's little robots that go underneath the shelves and bring the shelves to you. And then you put stuff on the shelves, and then the shelves leave and new shelves come.
They're like, thanks, humans.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there's like a whole
area. So we'll destroy you too.
Yeah, there's a whole area of the floor where you're not allowed to walk because that's where the robots live. And they will run you over.
Oh, wow. Wow. So they just have like, it's like big forklifts and stuff like that that are robot forklifts that are moving.
No, they're like little, they look like big Roombas, and they go underneath a shelf and they like spin and they like jack up off the ground and push the shelf up off the ground, and then they just like wheel away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're very, it's very bizarre.
Uh-huh.
And like,
do you think they're talking to each other, the robots, to like not bump into each other?
Yeah, they can sense each other.
Uh-huh.
But if a person goes out there, it's an accident waiting to happen.
So it's like we don't register your ability to share our space.
Yes.
Goodbye.
So, yeah, I was there for, like, 3 months. I quit. I just stopped showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I didn't see the sun for, like, those 3 months.
Right.
Because you had to get there. Like, because those warehouses employ, like, 5,000 people.
Right, right.
So, like, those buildings create their own traffic. So, I had to get to work an hour early to sit in an hour of traffic, like, 10 minutes outside the building.
Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't see the sun would be down when I got there.
Because everyone's shift starts at the same time instead of more rolling shifts, right? Yep.
So, as you're coming in, the night shift is leaving.
Right, right. So oh, that's a nightmare.
Complete nightmare. Then I've delivered pizza for, like, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked at a print shop making, like, business cards and stuff for a year. Then I worked at USA Today writing, being an obituary advisor. Yeah, it's a very weird job.
An advisor. So people would send in their obit thing, Aunt Sally died this and that, and you would say, actually, don't say this or that.
Not really, no.
You're the advisor.
They would send it in, and then I would put it into a template, and I'd be like, hey, this is what it's going to look like in the newspaper, and this is how much it's going to cost. Mm. Call me and pay for it.
Gotcha. And then we'll print it.
Yeah. It was mostly copying and pasting.
Okay. Well, yeah. it's a noble profession.
No real advising. People would ask me questions thinking I could actually advise them. They'd be like, what should I write about them? I'm like, well, it's up to you. It's all your decision. They're like, but wait, I've never written an obituary before. I'm like, well, just read some.
Yeah. You know,
just copy theirs. Just change the names.
Yeah, that's a good note.
Yeah.
Thank you, for being on my podcast. We got to run down, and I'm obsessed with being on time. I'm obsessed with getting in the door as soon as we get in there. So, this has been another episode of Highway Motherfucking Diary in the Bag with my guest, Tyler Langlois. Check him out. He's getting better. He's leveling up. Pretty soon he'll go Super Saiyan, and tickets will be too expensive to see him. But, he's straight edge, and, you know, he's seen some mosh pits in Utah and Jersey. Bye.
Bye.